Good morning. This is Louise Gookins, and this is Straight Talk About Money. And today I'm joined in the studio by my new friends, and I consider good friends, Art Blanchette and Bill Quigley. And they've become friends because we met each other over doing these programs. They rush in and we rush out and we switch. But today we said rush in early and stay with us. So good morning, Bill. Good morning, Art.
Morning, Louise. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Louise.
It's always fun. There's always so much to talk about. Well, just to bring you up to date, we're live in the studio today. It's October 28th. We'd love to take some calls from you. Anything goes, right? If we don't know, we'll say so. So give us a call at 321-1670 if you'd like to ask any kind of a question about buying your house, having a mortgage, financial planning, estate planning. It doesn't matter. We'd take it all. That's 321-1670 or *123 on your U.S. cellular phone. My normal co-host, Tracy Anton, is in her niece's wedding in Milwaukee today. So she'll be back next week with me, I believe.
So you have your abnormal co-host.
I have my...
Speak for yourself, Art.
Yeah, you guys are a lot of fun, though. Okay, let me think here. I got a lot of pages here, and what shall I ask you first? You know, I think that when it comes to financial planning and money, and, you know, having money in the future, you guys have a little bit easier job than I do in a way, because I think that the American people believe owning your own home is just the best thing they could possibly do. And I think they believe that more than they believe in what we say, which is balance it. Balance it between owning your own home and investing in good things, and the good basic things are the stock market. So would you agree with me on that?
We do agree with you, and we've learned a lot from you and Tracy, because we advocate to our clients, yes, you want to buy a house, and that's great, because everybody should buy a house, in our opinion. But we also advocate that you can't buy too much house. Mm-hmm. Don't live beyond your means. Buy a home that you can afford. Have money left over for emergencies, and also have money left over for investments. Plan for your future, because you're going to retire someday, you hope. You don't want to buy the house because you want to work forever.
You know, I noticed a big difference between what we do is you seem to be – we're more reactive. We have what we have to deal with. We have the rates. Now, we can structure things around there. We can direct people. But the rates are the rates.
Right.
Right. And the money costs the same amount of money to all the investors. And you have to almost have a crystal ball sometimes as you watch trends and you watch your market and you watch where things are going. And so your job's just a little bit different in that regard.
Well, that's good. That's a good – I like that point. I don't know if it's a crystal ball. It's just that we're much more willing to say to people, wait, it'll change again. If this isn't good right now, like rates are too high, just wait. There's always an opportunity. There'll always be a good opportunity to buy a house. You know, don't just jump in because it's going to get higher. I mean, I'll never forget in the 80s when interest rates got so high. And as I recall, both of you owned, one of you at least, owned bought your first house with these horrendously high interest rates.
We both did.
Yes. That's sad to hear that age group there, but yes, we did.
Actually, it was a good rate at the time. You know, 12.5 on a three-year fixed. When fixed rates were 18, I got a deal.
But how many people during that time period who rushed into that and bought some and then maybe got paid 18%? I mean, some people actually bought houses with 18%?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. How many of those people, you guys figured it out and didn't suffer from doing that. Some people suffered. But let's not talk about that. We have a call. So I can't see the screen. Hi. Who is it, please?
Hey, this is Al.
Al, hi. We know you. And
let me tell you a little bit about my situation. This is in the ballpark of anybody on the panel right now. I buy and sell new homes on the side. I usually get I keep them for a couple of years and I sell them. And then I reinvest some money into stock, and then I put the other amount of money into the next home. I usually get a 30-year fixed. For the simple fact is, if the market tanks like it did now, or the rates go up some, I'm comfortable where I'm at. So I don't mind giving up a little bit of interest rate for a 30-year fix. What my question is I was sold a long time ago, not sold on it because I never took it, but sold on it that I could take an interest-only loan and reinvest that money into stock, and I'd make up the difference 2, 3, 4 times full. And I don't believe that, but that was what the guy said. I didn't bite on it. But here's my question. Would I be better off doing a 20-year fixed and paying off the house sooner, or taking a 30-year fixed and taking that extra amount of money I'd put down in the mortgage and reinvest that in the stock? Which one would I be better off doing over the long run?
Okay, first of all, Al, this is Art. I want to congratulate you on not falling for that scam where you're taking all the equity out of your house and investing it. That's a very, very dangerous thing to do. So congratulations there. And I think Bill has the answer to this second part.
Well, in reference to should you take a 30-year fixed or a 20-year fixed, you're taking a conservative approach, which is a smart approach for your business plan, because should you take an interest-only ARM or a 5-year ARM or a 10-year interest-only?
Are you stuck?
The reality is the interest rate on that adjustable rate mortgage or interest-only mortgage is about the same as a 30-year fixed rate mortgage today anyway. The only reason somebody wants to sell you that is that they're going to make more money by putting you into that program. It's not going to benefit you at all. It's going to benefit the person that's selling it to you. You're in a good position right now if you get a 30-year fixed. Let's say today a 30-year fixed is maybe 6.25%. The only difference between going to a 20-year fixed, yes, you will pay down that principal faster. Your rate may be a little bit lower, maybe down to 6.125. You just have to take a good hard look at your cash flow position. If you lock yourself into making that extra payment or the higher payment, are you in a comfortable position in case one of your property needs repairs or if you have a vacancy?
No, I'm not an income property person. I live in them for 2 years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's not, and I don't have a cash flow problem at all. I was just wondering if I could reinvest the money in the stock with that extra amount that I wouldn't put into the mortgage.
Well, you know, okay, Al, this is Louise. And actually, Art and Bill have told me, and I don't see as much of this as I think they do, where there are people out there trying to sell the idea of having a bigger mortgage and then selling the idea that what the stock market has always done over the long run. And they are also apparently selling the idea that in 5 years they're going to have a lot more money. Now, it's most likely these are people who are not licensed in the securities area, because anybody who is licensed in the securities area like I am, anybody who is a broker who can sell people stocks and bonds would lose their license in no time at all if they gave those kinds of information to people. If they said in 5 years for sure you're going to have more money, it makes sense, you're going to be able to refinance your house, take it out, you're going to have made this money because of this mortgage, I mean, we would lose our license. There is just no way any of us who are licensed to sell stocks can talk in that fashion. And I think that's a big difference. Would you guys agree?
I agree very much. What they sell on this that type of program is you take all the equity out of your property, you have this artificially low interest rate where you're not even making the interest portion of your payment.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell it on the theory of, look at this chart of the 30-year history of the Standard & Poor's 500. Mm-hmm. And they'll say in 5 years, you've made so much compound interest, you can pay your mortgage off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's baloney. It's a scam.
Well, I got a question for you. Isn't the first rule in investing is to, well, there's two, I guess, not borrow the money to invest. And the second would be don't invest anything you can't lose.
I think that makes sense, yeah. But, of course, we know that's broken all the time, that people do borrow the money to invest. I mean, that's obviously what you're doing when you're buying a house, even in the most logical, safe fashion. I mean, you know, even if you've got 20% down and you've got the best mortgage possible, you still are borrowing the money.
Yeah, Al, you're still there?
I want to go back to one thing on Al's question. He's okay. Asking should he go to a 20 or 30 or fixed. And the dog needs to go out, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm going to kick her.
But for the 20 or 30 fixed, it just goes to what you feel most comfortable with. The difference in interest rate is about 0.8%. It's not that much dollar-wise. It depends on what you want to do. You could always take your 30-year fixed and prepay it. Add a few $100 a month if you feel like it to pay down that principal. If you go to the 20-year fixed, I like them because your payment isn't much higher on a 20-year fixed-rate mortgage, but you're paying a lot more principal every month.
Right, we're always talking about this, but you can go to a 25, and it's almost minuscule, the difference, and you just have all the comfort, and you put more of your money toward principal.
Okay. All right. I hope I didn't take up too much of your time.
No, thanks for calling, Al.
Thanks, Al.
Great
good
questions.
To hear from you.
Yeah,
this is Straight Talk About Money. This is Louise Googins with guests Art Blanchette and Bill Quigley today. The call-in number, because we're live in the studio on October 28th, is 321-1670 or *123 on your U.S. cellular phone. Well, I can already tell I'm not going to get through my 8 pages of questions here.
Hey, you know, I just want to comment on your we went to your open house, and it was a wonderful building, and I think you should direct people there. Not for the exterior. The exterior is very simple, very modest, but what you've done inside that building is just incredible.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a lot of fun, and I have spent a lot of money. And I'll tell you, it's always a little nerve-wracking to spend money, but the results are good.
Yep.
And basically, we have to have a place to do our business, you know. And I don't think people understand that when you are in business and people look at you and say, you seem to be successful, they still don't realize how much of yourself you had to put out there first before you got anything back. And so I'll look at that frankly, you know, when I bought that building, you know, there have been some things along the way. Well, I have a mortgage. I did pay 20% down, and I have a mortgage for 80%. So getting the mortgage was really, really easy and so on. And then, of course, it was time to start remodeling. We had to gut my half of the building. The other half I rented back to the person who was there, and we didn't need too many changes. But then it's time to start remodeling, you know, and then people are like, well, now you got to borrow the money. No, we're going to just pay for this from cash. Oh, you know, they're a little surprised about that.
Yes.
And it's all scary, too. We've got business, and the way we run our business is you keep making sure you've got money to stay in business. And, you know, it's no different than a person and their finances, you know. You've got so much money coming in, don't spend it all because what if something happens? And so, you know, I run my business the same way I run my life and the same way I try to give people financial planning information. You've got so much money coming in. How are you going to use it? Every now and then, you got to take a leap, which is kind of nerve-wracking. You know, you buy that first house, you give up some of the money. We always recommend saving until you've got a 20% down payment. Just basically, that will be our number one recommendation. So you got to save, and then you got to give some of that money up, and it's kind of a scary thing. And then you keep going on like that. Anyway.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Good advice.
Okay. Well, let's see here. Actually, you know, we talk with people, and I had a young couple last night where we talked about their house and their mortgages, and then Tracy met with some people. So I think she's left me with some questions to ask you. Number one, she says, are rates about the same as they were last year?
Rates are a little bit higher than they were last year.
Okay.
Right now, let's say a 30-year fixed, about 6.25 to 6.375 in that range. They're fluctuating a little bit. Last year, I think at this time, we were probably about 5.75, 5.78.
Time has been flying by, Bill.
But so they're not really, they're a little bit higher, but it isn't monumentally higher.
No.
They're still fantastic rates. There's still a lot of people that are taking advantage of it and getting a low rate to purchase a home. Or if people have a financial need, they're consolidating debt or getting some cash out to take care of their needs.
What Bill pointed out earlier when he was talking to Al is that all the rates have tightened up. We're almost looking at one universal interest rate right now for all the programs just because of what's going on with the LIBOR, with the adjustable rates. They've gotten very close. So everything is within an eighth, it seems, of the 30-year fixed.
Okay. LIBOR. What is that?
London Interbank Overnight Rate. Now, that's an index based on financial markets overseas.
You've heard of T-bills, treasury
sure, of
bills, and so for the one-year treasury bill, and we've heard the cost of funds
I
index.
Go that one.
Yeah, California cost of funds index, and so forth.
All adjustable rate mortgages are based on what they call an index. Adjustable rate mortgage is something that it's going to start out at a certain rate, but it's going to adjust based on what happens in the financial markets. Now, they might be based on a one-year treasury bill or a 10-year treasury bill, or as Art mentioned, the LIBOR or the COFI, which is the cost of funds. There's many different vehicles to get a mortgage on. And if you're getting, like a lot of people are selling these adjustables aggressively because they make a lot of money by selling them.
A lot of money by selling them because they're going to redo them so frequently, or just because they make more money selling an adjustable rate mortgage right now?
They make more money selling it right now because there's a ton of lenders out there who've got cash. They want to throw up mortgages. And a 5-year or a 3-year fixed rate mortgage that's going to turn into adjustable, the interest rate's basically the same as the 30-year fixed. And a bank is looking forward to, I'll fix your rate for 5 years. It's going to adjust. It's probably going to adjust upward. It's not going to go down.
Right. Because
it's going to go up.
It's based on that index plus a margin.
And a margin is, if your index is 4, the margin might be 3, which is a profit margin for the bank. So when it does adjust, you're going to go way up. And the reason banks are paying brokers more to do this is they know they're going to make more money down the road.
Right. So the bankers get paid more up front, or the mortgage lender gets paid more up front. They don't keep making money as the mortgage goes. It's just the bank is making the decision that we'll pay these people more to get them into this kind of a loan right now. And then we know we're going to make more as time goes on.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's good. Now, see, everybody's always interested in how we get paid. Everybody's always asking me that. And yet sometimes I find people don't care at all. When I find out what they've bought, suddenly they forgot all about what it might have cost.
Oh, okay.
And you'll look at it and you'll think, holy mackerel, don't you realize how you got taken? They don't.
Right.
But at some point people are always, well, how do you get paid? And frankly, we try to be really upfront about it. We try to explain it. In our way of managing money, there's only basically two ways that you can get paid. And you try to explain it to people, but It's pretty complicated. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, at the bottom line, if everybody's going to do well, we need to get paid well, but we need to get paid so that we're not taking it away from the other side so that they're doing well with their investment. I mean, it has to absolutely be a two-way street.
So their investment keeps growing and your commissions aren't drawing out of that investment.
Exactly. Right. So, okay, interesting. Very simple. And I'm one of these simple people. And I like to just lock something in. So basically today, people should understand that an arm will that more people are willing to sell them arms today because actually they're going to get paid more by the mortgage lender.
And in some cases, they'll sell it as – you'll see it on TV. There's the Ditex and the Green Trees. Get this fixed rate mortgage, 5.75, 5.875. The reality of what's being sold to them, it's not a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
It's amortized or the payments are spread out over 30 years. But what they're really being sold is one of those adjustable rate mortgages. It's fixed for 3 years. If you read the fine print on the bottom of the screen, it's not a 30-year fixed. It's going to adjust in 3 years. They make a lot of money on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they're not being honest with you in their presentation of what they're selling you.
Right, absolutely.
Traditionally, there's a bigger gap between the adjustable rates and the fixed rates, but we're not there right now because of the LIBOR went up so fast, and interest rates, they expected to go up, and all the prognosticators said they were going to go up, and they didn't go up. But traditionally, there's 2 or 3 points difference.
Yes.
And because you got an adjustable, your first one. I got an adjustable, my first one, because we were up in the teens otherwise.
Yeah.
That was it. That was you're saying,
right. And we're not saying adjustable rate mortgages are bad. I don't think they're a bad thing at all.
No.
Lots of times
they can be good.
That's right,
in the right marketplace.
But right now, understand that's the main purpose, and that's very interesting. Now, actually, I'll tell you what I told this young couple just recently. They have an ARM, adjustable rate mortgage ARM. All right, and it's they're 3 years into it, I believe.
Okay.
Approximately. And the interest rate is really low, and I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's even less than 5%. Does that sound
right? That does sound right, yes.
Okay. And so there's 2 more years at that rate. And I told them, I said, I think interest rates, if you were to get a conventional, is about 6.5. So I was wrong. They're a little bit less than that.
Well, they're fluctuating. So based on what day you read the Wall Street Journal, you were correct.
You were right.
Okay. And then the next thing was, okay, what do you do about that? Do we switch now or whatever? I said, no, I wouldn't switch because for two big reasons. I'm looking at this and I'm willing to bet this was your first house. I'm willing to bet you're going to want another house before too long. Now, there's other factors that go into that. In this case, this is a young couple that they're doing well, okay? Mm-hmm. And their income, there's a really good chance their income will increase more than just a little bit every year. And they're real smart about what they're doing. So I just said, I'm willing to bet this is not going to be the house you're going to be satisfied with. And, you've just been starting your family. And so for me, there's always risk. But I would take the risk that it's much better to stick with that arm for 2 years and take the risk that interest rates won't be too much different in 2 years and that either you're going to change houses, so what does it matter? No use locking into anything else today just to have it for 30 years when the chances are you're going to be out of here in a few years.
I would agree with that assessment. If they got 2 years left at that low of a rate, definitely keep it.
Yeah.
Right, because the adjustment might only be 1%.
Could be.
Right, so they're still going to be in great shape.
Yeah.
Right, you mean at the end of the 5 years, yeah.
Yeah.
So at the end of the 5 years, the interest rate starts adjusting. It usually adjusts once a year, or is it can be other more than frequently than once a year?
There again, it depends upon the type of adjustable rate mortgage that you have.
Okay.
If you have an adjustable rate mortgage that's based on a 1 year treasury bill, your mortgage will adjust once a year. Typically, it's a maximum of 2% per year, which is a big adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an adjustable rate mortgage based on the LIBOR, that's could adjust every 6 months, typically a maximum of 1% every 6 months. If you have one of these terrible, ugly, option arm, pick a payment, voodoo, magical mortgages that are going to make you rich.
You're recommending this?
No. Oh. they can adjust anywhere from the time that you get the mortgage, they can adjust anywhere from 2 to 6 months to the second year, and they can adjust massively, 5%, 6%, 8%. And it's not on your original loan balance. It's on your new loan balance, which is going to be a lot bigger than where you started.
So
be careful. Read the fine print.
There's so much to think about, isn't there? They
have
added so many variables to what used to me, is a nice simple thing. I mean, frankly, I'm going to keep it simple, have a 20% down payment, look at it, decide if you can get into a fixed interest, pay this, and keep away from all these variables. But what you're talking about is it's just, I never can say this word correctly, where things multiply. Can't even remember the word. Okay. Anyway, the variables.
Geometrically or compounding?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Geometrically.
Exponentially.
That's the word I want that I have a hard time saying. Yes. And that's what it is, isn't it? There's just tons of variables that keep getting added to these mortgages. That's why I got to depend on you guys being honest and really thinking about my best interest.
And we are.
Yeah, it's really gotten more complicated. It really has. And the efforts to simplify things, it's gotten awful. And all the paperwork that people fill out when they're doing these applications, when they're doing these closings, most of the paperwork is designed to protect the consumer, and all it does is confuse the consumer.
Of course.
And that's what the banking regulators do. If we could do it our way, it'd be simple. But the regulators get involved. They want to revise the paperwork so that the consumer understands it better. But it just compounds the confusion.
Boy, how many times have I said that?
It wasn't too many years ago. I was just doing a little bit of history on mortgage lending. People were only borrowing when they bought farms and places like this and ranches. And, you know, remember, they're holding the mortgage to the property, and the cowboy's going to save the widowed female, you know, the rancher there. He's going to take care of her. Well, they were only borrowing about 40%, and they paid it back in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, this extending these payments further and further and putting down less and less, that's where we are now. That was not the traditional way of doing business, but that's why I think the banking industry has become so powerful as a result of all that interest out there.
Right, right. Yeah, well, we do know the banks make money, right?
Yes,
otherwise, they couldn't
do.
Possibly have those good buildings.
I used to travel in my formal life quite a bit, and I'd go some of the poorest countries in the world, and the most beautiful buildings, even in a little dirt water town, shanties, would be a wonderful bank. Beautiful buildings.
Have you noticed, though, that the medical system seems to be doing okay also?
Yep. By the way, the churches looked good, too. I just want you to know.
I'm okay with the churches for some reason. But, you know, people don't understand. And why is the medical system doing so well? Because they keep selling medical to everyone. And if they can, they'll be getting $5,000, $6,000 out of every single person in the United States.
We better watch that be a whole another year of shows.
Yeah, all right. Well, this is Louise Googins. This is Straight Talk About Money. And our producer has disappeared, so he's the one who's going to answer the phone. Hopefully he's around. But if you've got a call, we've got a few minutes left here. Call us at 321-1670. Or *123 on your U.S. cellular phone, and anything is okay. Today we're talking about mortgages with Art Blanchette and Bill Quigley, and we haven't gotten very far actually. But I think, you know, sometimes I stop and re-ask you these questions, and you know, because I don't think we forget. And you know, I will do this too. I'll talk to people, and then suddenly I'm using these initials, and you know, it's like, well, you don't know what in the heck I'm talking about, do you? You know,
we got to be careful. We really do.
So okay, let's talk about jumbo mortgages.
Okay.
For instance, exactly, what's a jumbo mortgage?
Well, a jumbo mortgage would be anything that is a dollar amount over approximately $420,000.
Okay. Now, and that keeps changing? That's
correct.
Okay.
It changes every year based on some of the largest holders of mortgages in the country are Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who used to be government agencies, but they are now private agencies. When you get a mortgage that's less than $420,000, chances are that mortgage is going to be owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Okay. Not your bank. Your bank sells it.
Okay.
So, but if you get over 420, you're in what they call a jumbo mortgage, simply because of the dollar amount.
Yeah, anything over a conforming rate or a conforming amount. And about 3 years ago, it was about $260,000.
Yeah.
It has really gone up. And states like Alaska and Hawaii have their own limitations for what's conforming and what isn't. So the conforming rate is the one where you can get, you know, where you have to have the private mortgage insurance, where you have to toe the line on these things. But the conforming rate is where the consumer is most protected.
Yeah.
And you go beyond the conforming rates, you go to the jumbos, or you go to what you might have heard of as subprime, non-prime. What else are they calling those types of loans? They always change it.
Alt-A,
alternative credit. These are different programs that you don't have the guarantees, and they're sold differently on the securities market, so forth. There's different investors in them. So when you go into the jumbo, you have different rules, and they're not as easily qualified for.
No, they're not. But then again, the rates aren't. In some cases, the jumbo market can be very competitive. If somebody has a large mortgage, your rate's not that far from a conforming rate. You could be in a jumbo today, 6.5, 6.375. It's inexpensive money.
It didn't used to be that way.
No, it used to be at least 0.5 to 0.75 of a point, even a point spread in interest rates.
Do I look confused?
No. So a jumbo loan is anything over a conforming rate, which is anything Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae will essentially endorse or underwrite. And so it's anything over about $420,000 for the loan value, not the property value.
So to summarize, a conforming loan is anything $420,000 or less.
Or less.
That's
mm-hmm.
called conforming mm-hmm. by market standards. Jumbo is a dollar amount, $420,000 or above. And they just call it jumbo based on the dollar size that you're borrowing.
Okay. Has nothing to do with Disney and the circus, anything like that.
So a jumbo mortgage, can somebody get? I mean, when I bought my condo 5-6 years ago, I'm lost as to the memory of this now, but for some reason, they would only give me a mortgage for so much, and they called it a jumbo mortgage, I thought.
Some jumbos are maxed at $650,000.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They have limitations.
Believe me, it
too.
Wasn't even that much. But of course, we're saying these changed a long time ago. So, not a long time ago.
Depending upon what lender you're working with or what bank you're working with, they may have their own internal limitations based on who they're selling the mortgage to. Mm-hmm. You know, even though technically a jumbo mortgage is anything 420 and above, mm-hmm. the caps might be 650. Depending upon what investor you're using, we have investors that go to $1 million in a jumbo mortgage or above.
All right, let me try to get this down to simple me thinking. Let's pretend for a moment I'm going to buy a new $1 million house, mm-hmm. and my net worth is $3 million, and so I want a 80% mortgage of $800,000.
Okay.
Can I get that as
Absolutely.
A jumbo? I can get that one mortgage, a jumbo loan. Why are you laughing, Art?
You gave away so much, and you immediately went to my net worth is. that's the way you think, and that was just wonderful. I just got a real kick out of it. And because usually we're saying, what do you have for assets and so forth, but she goes, my net worth is.
We are always working with people and putting their, and that's one of the, thank you for letting me go off on a tangent here, but so many people finally come to us, we do their net worth for them. Many of them know their assets, but they've never added it up, and we always say, we make them a balance sheet and we add and subtract any debts and so on. And we say, okay, if you want to, this is your net worth. And if you want to sell everything off and go the simple life on some mountaintop, here's what you're worth today.
Right.
It's just so some way of looking at it. But then when they continue to be our clients, which most people do, thank goodness.
Yes.
Over the years, next year we'll say, okay, look, this is an increase this year. And 5 years and 10 years, they look back and, well, this is amazing. We actually have more money today.
But it's just how un-American.
We have a call. Can you?
Janet's calling from Janesville.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Janet. How can we help you?
Well, Louise, I was just wondering, I am very near retirement, and I don't have a lot of assets. I have between, less than $100,000.
Okay.
And I cannot find a financial planner down here in this area that doesn't want to sell me something when I go in to talk to them to try to get advice as to what's the best way for me to, go on in the future years. And I was wondering, is there some place that a person without a lot of assets like myself can get some good, honest advice without being offered, products to be sold to them all the time?
Okay, well, thank you for that question. And I'll tell you, it's very difficult because in reality, I'll be just as I'm totally honest, straight talk here. I mean, we want to invest and make money for people, but we want to help them make money. Now, we can do it in one of two ways. One is that we can sell you the product and keep showing you how that product is making money for you. The other way is that we can look at your assets and we can say, how much of this shall we manage? We will tell you how to invest those things. We won't make any money off those products, but we do need to get paid for continuing to give you good advice.
Correct.
And in that case, we will get a management fee on a yearly basis. So, the bottom line, as far as I'm concerned, is I want to help you make money. I want to get paid for helping you do it, but
right.
I will show you from year to year that you're making money. Now, let me take that back, qualify it a little bit. Once in a while, the market is bad, everything's wrong. You don't make money 1 year. That can be the case. But over time, I can make this as a comment. Anybody who's been with us, working with us for several years knows that they've made money, and I've helped them to understand and do things which I don't get paid for at all. Like many times people say, should I put money into my 403B plan? We'll say, absolutely. We're not going to make a dime off it. So are we running out of time? Okay, we have a little bit. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, does that answer?
My question is, I don't like to come in and and bother people because I don't have $500,000 to invest and all that. Mm-hmm. And I realize you people have to be paid, and I want you to be paid fairly, but then I don't want to be pressured into just always buying something every time I talk to somebody who sells investments.
Just give us a call because we help all kinds of people. We do not consider you a little tiny investor that we don't want to help. We're willing to help anybody. So we'd love to talk with you and let you decide if we can help you. This has been Louise Googins with Art Blanchette and Bill Quigley, your mortgage advisors, and this has been Straight Talk About Money. Thanks for listening. Give us a call at our office, 836-3229, and we'll be back here next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Louise.